chapter 17. I will not be too long today, said the famous last words of every preacher that ever opened a Bible. Amen. No, I will not be long today. But I do have a message that every preacher that's ever preached behind a pulpit has that message that he's writing, and he's convicted by what he is writing. Now, what I mean by that, it's not by the words of the preacher, like, well, that's pretty good. What it is the message that the Lord is portraying through the thought process that he is giving him. And every time I look at this passage, and every time I've had the opportunity to preach this message, I have been convicted every time, because I know there's parts of me that are lacking. And so I'm praying that as we look at this, and as we are examining these seven verses, that you too will have the same feeling of, maybe I need to change a few things in my life, or maybe I need to get my heart right, or maybe I need to repent, or whatever the Lord leads. And that's just how powerful this passage is. I love this passage of the Bible. So as we stand, let's read the first seven verses of 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 1. And Elijah, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, and unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. The title of my message is very simple: Lessons from the Brook Cherith. Lessons from the Brook Cherith. Let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord God, I feel unworthy every time I'm behind this pulpit, Lord, but I thank you for the opportunity. And Lord, I pray that as I preach your message, that it would not be me speaking, but you preaching through me. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us as Vision Baptist Church and visitors to examine our own hearts and see if we are doing everything we can to take full advantage of the resources you have given us. Lord, I pray that you bless this time. Let everything be done to your honor and to your glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I am blessed to have three beautiful children. I have a 6-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 2-year-old. And I can't tell you how many times somebody looks at me and says, are you Mormon? I said, no, I just have children at a young age. Hey, nothing wrong with having children. I love my three. They run around. They're crazy. They're hyperactive. But every once in a while, there's just that spark of just that moment. You're like, huh. My daughter came to me one day, and she had colored me a picture. Just colored a picture. And it was a round blue thing over here, and a square thing over here, and a rectangle over there, and I have no idea what was happening in the middle. And I asked, oh, that's beautiful. She's like, can you tell what it is? As a parent, that terrifies you, because if you can't tell and you just guess, you've crushed her spirit forever. I'll never write you a picture again, you know, something like that. So I'm looking at it like, well, I tell you what, why don't you help me? And so she begins to say, okay, well, this is a house over here, and that's me playing with a ball over there, and that's our five cats. I'm like, whoa, let's erase four of those, and all these things, messing with the picture. And she made it clear. Through her eyes, it was crystal clear. To my eyes, looking at it, I couldn't tell what it was, but after she started explaining it to me through her eyes, I could tell what the picture was. Sometimes the Bible seems to be a little unclear to us. Maybe if you ever read the devotions, maybe I'm the only one, you read your devotions and all of a sudden you're like, I have no idea what is going on right now. And I think many times we feel like every time we open our Bible, we're going to get something from it that's just going to smack us and say, oh, I get that. I understand that. Yes, that is very clear to me. No, I think it's deeper than that. I think as Christians, it's our job to investigate the deep things of God's word. And I believe he did that for a reason, because it's not a dead book. It's a living, breathing book. And as a living, breathing book, we need to examine it and need to dissect it. And we need to make sure that we're taking full advantage of the resources that are before us. So how do we do that? It's very simple, and I believe we learn this through these seven verses. Verse number one, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Picture that. Elijah, a Tishbite. Ahab, a king. And Elijah goes up to him and says, hey, guess what's not going to happen until I say so? No rain. Have a good day. And walks out. And Ahab's not happy about that. And he's going to pursue him. And so God knows that. And in verse number two, he said, and the word of the Lord came at him saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Then we start diving into what is so important about this brook. Number one, look at verse number four. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. Number one, this is deep, okay? Number one, as Christians, we are to drink from the brook. Amen. That's so theologically deep. Drink from the brook. What do I mean by that? I mean we need to daily drink from God's word. Daily dive in. Daily dissecting. Daily living this book. Daily looking. If I don't understand that, why is that? What verse kind of connects to that? If I liken it, it's like when you first got saved, right? You were newly saved. You were excited. You couldn't wait to hear what God's word said. And you opened up Genesis 1:1 in the beginning. Yeah, God created. That's awesome. Then you get into John. Then you get into Revelation. And you start looking at different avenues of the Bible and start dissecting and start trying to soak in all of this knowledge. And then as the years go on, kind of dies down a little bit. My daughter and my two sons have a bike. They each have their own bikes. I use my children as illustrations all the time. But they have bikes. And when they first got the bike, they loved the bike. They couldn't wait to get those bikes. They couldn't wait to ride those bikes. Yeah, first month, they rode the bike. Second month, not so much. Third month, hardly ever. Fourth month, Daddy, would you push me in the wagon? All those things. Why is that? Because we're a generation of people that we get distracted easily. We just do. We are interested in this thing, and then the iPhone 20 comes out. And then iPhone 75 comes out, and I need this, and I need that, and I'm going to go from this thing to that thing to this thing to that thing to that thing to that. We cannot just focus on one thing. And that's why God's word is so important for us to kind of just stop, dive in, and see what can be applied to our lives. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A workman. If you want to get close to God and you want to understand God's word, it's going to take someone that's willing to work at it. It doesn't happen right away. I love when my children come home with Bible verses or they say things like, hey, guess what verse I learned, Dad? What verse? I learned Romans 3:23. Oh, really? What is Romans 3:23? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Great. What does that mean? I have no idea. So we talk about it. We start dissecting it. We start looking at God's word. What is sin? Sins are bad things we do. Yes. Awesome. What are some bad things that have happened? Well, let's look at people in the Bible that have done some bad things. That's sin. Yada, yada, yada. The Bible is not meant to just read a chapter a day and kind of put it on your shelf and just go about your merry way. There's nothing wrong with that. If that's all the time you have, I understand that. Working two jobs myself, I understand that. I get it. We don't have a lot of time. But if you have the opportunity, this is what God wants. God wants you to sit by the brook and just start drinking and just start gaining knowledge. And start dissecting, and start dissecting. And then you'll see some things in your life that you've never seen before. Maybe some things that are missing in your life that you never thought you were missing. So number one, drink from the brook. Number two, same verse. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of God, for went and dwelt by the brook Cherith and before Jordan. Not only was God commanded him to drink from the brook, he also commanded him to receive from the ravens. Pastor's not here, so I can talk about it. No, I'm just kidding. He's going to listen to this later. I don't know if he listens to it or not, but the ravens, this is what happened. God commanded the ravens to go and grab meat and bread and bring it to him and put it into his hand. More like reach up. Elijah was to reach up, grab the bread and the meat from the ravens and consume that. That was his bread. That was his meat. That's not by accident. The ravens in this story, story of Elijah, the brook Cherith, that's the pastor. The pastor every week spends hours upon hours, days upon days, dissecting, wanting to get something, wanting to grab something from God's word that could maybe change the lives of Vision Baptist Church. Maybe there's a lost person that doesn't know that they're going to heaven. Maybe there's someone that's maybe on the edge of selling out for God. Maybe there's someone that's wondering if my marriage is worth it. Maybe there's someone that's wondering what maybe my life's not worth it. You understand that everything that goes into a preacher's mind when he prepares a message, it would drive you nuts. It would. Because you're looking at so many different personalities, so many different life scenarios, so many circumstances. I have no idea what's going on in your personal life. And every time pastor gets behind that pulpit, he has no idea. He's just hoping that the message he's received from God is going to help you. So he dives in and grabs the bread. He dives in and grabs the meat. And he hangs it out for you to receive it. And that's what this means. And that's what's pictured here in the brook Cherith. The preacher reading, learning, praying, believing that God has given him something for your life. Every day. All the time. And when he gets up here on Sunday morning, how do we receive it? If you really think about it, how do you receive the messages on a weekly basis? Because he's there, he's preparing for Sunday morning, but he's also putting as much effort into Sunday night. He's also putting as much effort into Wednesday night. Why? Because he has no idea what you're going through. No one knows but the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when he receives that message and he's putting his soul and his heart into it, how are you receiving that? Kind of gets a little different when you put it into that perspective, right? Oh, you mean the pastor cares? Oh, yeah, he cares. He cares. He cares enough to make this book his own. He cares enough to dive into this book every day. He cares enough to pray for each and every one of you. He cares enough to really want to make a difference here in the valley. He wants revival to happen. That's why he's spending hours upon hours in this book. It's not just a Sunday morning message that he cares about. It's a Sunday night message that he cares about. It's a Wednesday night message he cares about. It's a VBS he cares about. It's a missions conference. And every preacher that's in a pulpit across America has the same heart. When I was working at Bethel Baptist Church, in Grapevine, Texas, I was kind of going through the same things. I would preach to my teens, and then I had the Sunday night services. And I'm telling you right now, and I wasn't the pastor. I was just the assistant pastor. And I'm telling you right now, as much pressure and as much worry and as much prayer that went into preparing a message just for my one message, I can tell you that's magnified 1,000 times for the preacher. So my question is, what are you missing on Sunday night? What are you missing on Wednesday night? Knowing the preparation and how God has prepared the raven for you. And the amount of preparation that goes into that. What are you missing these nights? Is revival not starting because you're maybe missing the message that was prepared for you on a Wednesday night? Is revival not starting because maybe you're missing the message that was prepared for you on Sunday night? D.L. Moody said this, "The world has yet to see what one man, and I say one woman, can do that is wholly surrendered to God." And I'm telling you right now, the preparation that goes into that every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, every Sunday morning, I think that revival can start if we're just willing to get that message that was maybe prepared for us on a night that is different, on a day that is different than Sunday morning. Verse number 5. "So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook." Okay, so let me put a nice ribbon on this, put the picture together, okay? So over here, we have the brook Cherith. It's the word of God. It will not change. Amen? It will last forever. It will be here. It's going to stand the test of time. It is the word of God. The brook Cherith does not change. Over here, we have the ravens. God chose the foolishness of preaching. Amen? So the method will not change. God's not going to change the method in which we receive that message. So we have the brook. We have the preacher. There's only one moving factor in this story, and that's Elijah. Elijah had to physically drink from the brook. He had to physically take the bread and the meat from the ravens. Vision Baptist Church, I'm going to be as clear as I can be with you. In order for anything to happen in your life not only revival to happen in the valley or revival to happen in church, for anything spiritually speaking to happen in your life, you're going to have to drink from the brook daily. You're going to have to dive into God's word and drink from the brook. You're also going to have to be here to accept the message that God may have put on the pastor's heart for you specifically and take from the bread and the meat of God's word that was given from the preacher. These things would have never saved Elijah's life if he would have stood still. Nothing would have changed if he wouldn't have moved. There would be no story of Elijah if he would have stood still. He had to go to the brook. He had to take from the raven. I know majority of you have lives that are about 1,000 miles a minute. You have jobs, you have family life, you have circumstances, you're wondering if you're going to make it to the buffet in time. I get it. I understand. But if you get nothing else from this message, please slow down for these next couple of minutes and understand this. I believe the simple fact that you're here means that you want God to do something great in your life. I honestly believe that. I know majority of you, I believe that you would not be here faithfully time in and time again if you didn't want God to do something special in your life. In order for God to do anything, all he can do is give us the resources on a weekly and a daily basis. He's given us this thing called a free will. The resources are there. The brook has never changed. The method in which we receive a message on a weekly basis has not changed. If you want revival in your life, then maybe the only thing that has to change is your heart. Maybe you need to start diving into God's word. Maybe I need to start diving into God's word more. Maybe you need to start listening to the word of God. Maybe saying, is this a message that I can apply to my life? Is this the message that you have for me? The hours and the days the pastor has prepared for this message. Is this my message? Because I believe we hear the stories of revival. We read the stories of D.L. Moody and all that he's done and countless others. And we're saying, could that ever happen again? Yes, it can. Do you know why? Because the method, the word of God, the brook has not changed. The method has never changed. The only people that have changed are you and I. Because we've kind of said, yeah, that's a good lesson book, or we've said that was a great sermon, preacher, and we kind of go along our merry way. I want to challenge you. Maybe take this next week or a couple of days from this week and say, what can I get if I drink from the brook and really drink from the brook daily? What can I get if I intently listen to the message and take from the bread and the meat? What do you have for me, God, and see what he does with your life? Because the sad reality is the next verse will come eventually. Let's look at the verse number 7 and we'll be done. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. There will come a time when there will be a final message. There will come a time when God calls his people home. At that time, will you hear those words, Christian? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. All I asked you to do was follow the resources. All I asked you to do was drink from my brook daily. All I asked you to do was take the message and apply it to your lives. And you applied it to your life. Well done. Or sadly, is he going to look at us and say, why? Why? I love this church. And I love the direction that we're going. I really do. I'm excited about VBS. I'm excited about everything that's happening here. I am excited. But I'm also worried. Because really, as a Christian, we have no excuses at all. We've always had God's word with us. The preaching has been biblical, and it's been well put together from this pulpit. And my only question to you is this. Has it maybe been the heart of Vision Baptist Church or in heart of an individual that hasn't been really utilizing the resources that have been given them? I think if just one person comes to the altar, says, Lord, I haven't been doing my part. And I think we all can really say that. I haven't been doing my part. I haven't been drinking from the brook. I haven't been utilizing the meat and the bread from the raven, from the preacher. But Lord, I want to try. And I think God would take that and make a vessel of honor. Amen. I really do. Every head bowed and every eye closed.